Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Fan Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Marius Ruart. Let's get into the first news story of today. And I think one of the big questions in South African politics at the moment is, how much is the government of national unity going to realign our politics? Now, we've been looking very closely for signs of how the different groups are moving, what policies are being pushed by government, been watching every statement and speech from the president, utterance from cabinet and senior ANC members, as well as from DA people, to see what the different parties are actually going to be implementing in practice when it comes to the policies that govern South Africa. And I'm just going to describe two stories here back to back, which give us an interesting and unexpected insight into how things are changing. So the first here is the president of COSATU, Zingiswa Losi, has come out in defense of Helen Ziller. It was a story in the Sunday Times over the weekend where Gwede Mantashe claimed that Helen Ziller was setting up a parallel government as a parallel president and was trying to control the DA ministers and undermine the president by making DA ministers account to the party, not just to the president. This seems to me like an attempt to sort of split the DA ministers off from the party structures of the DA. And I was quite shocked when I saw this headline of the COSATU president defending Ziller. She said, "I don't know what Helen Ziller would have said or done, but the DA has a responsibility to its deployees to hold them accountable. The same applies to the IFP, the EFF, and all other parties. Voters must hold parties accountable because we have given them a mandate of 5 years, because we have endorsed this government of national unity, and therefore we must hold you accountable. We have a responsibility to do so." And she went on to say that it was concerning that a national chairperson of the ANC would hold this view. "It makes you worried if a national chair of the ANC can say that. But what is it that the ANC was getting into? What did they understand to be the government of national unity now that you would have a national chair who would publicly say that? He should not be having those fears. You should be confident that you have a government of national unity and that you have a president that has set up a cabinet, a government, and he is going to hold every cabinet member accountable. Unless there's an understanding that we don't have that, there are limitations to the powers of the president that aren't disclosed." Which is quite an interesting point. I mean, you don't normally see COSATU attacking the ANC in order to defend the DA. I think it's a little bit more complicated. That's not a straightforward defense of the DA. We've also seen a senior member of the South African Communist Party attack the government of national unity, accusing it, the ANC, of selling out and betraying the revolution. And in particular, this happened in KZN, where the SACP was supported by the COSATU-affiliated union, Nahawu. This saw the secretary of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal go after Nahawu, attacking them and saying that they basically shouldn't be getting involved in this. ANC KwaZulu-Natal secretary Becky Motolo said that don't be frustrated by the fight for positions. President Cyril Ramaphosa has shown that the GNU isn't about selling out black South Africans. Then of Nahawu, the COSATU union, he said, "Others are saying they don't want the GNU. Nahawu's people are at Home Affairs. When you get a Home Affairs seeking a death certificate, you are not given attention by the staff. That's Nahawu's fault. When ambulances take time to get to your home, the cause behind that is Nahawu." He then went on to say that Nahawu can jump off a cliff because to them it's money first and everything comes secondary, including lives. Now, that's a kind of radical anti-union statement one might expect from, I don't know, the Freedom Front Plus or someone in the DA, maybe. So, Marius, I mean, it's kind of interesting here because on one hand, COSATU is defending the government of national unity, and then a different part of COSATU is attacking the government of national unity. And I think this is really perhaps suggesting that the ANC, as constituted as this kind of big tent party, is maybe starting to come a little bit undone. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. It shows how the ANC isn't this kind of colossus that stands over our politics like it used to be. Look, it's still obviously, I mean, by far the biggest single party in the country. and you know, was still the single biggest party in 7 of the 9 provinces, and only won majorities in you know, almost all provinces where it was still the biggest. So it's, you know, it's far too early to start writing the ANC's obituary, but I think this is exactly it. This is part of the realignment of our politics, as the ANC isn't this massive organization where, you know, it's only a real place to go into if you're into politics and so on, or if you sort of left leaning, whatever the case is. Things are changing quite quickly, I think, and I think this kind of fight, this internal battle in Kusatu is evidence of that, and I think we'll probably see a lot more of that starting to happen. And you know, it's probably good for our politics. It's good for the ANC and Kusatu not to be necessarily moving in lockstep all the time. And, you know, ANC and Kusatu's interests maybe aren't the same. You know, they're probably quite different. And maybe it's also time for maybe the tripartite alliance, maybe it's run its course. Maybe it's time for Kusatu not to be backing the ANC explicitly, and maybe it's time for the South African Communist Party to also leave the ANC and start, you know, having great elections on its own. It's always an outsized influence in the ANC, even though it's never, ever, apart from one or two municipal elections, never, ever been, or in some municipalities, even not even total municipal elections, has been at the ballot box.
No, exactly right. I said at the beginning of these Government of National Unity negotiations that the ANC should dump the SACP, because I don't think that party really adds anything to it except bad ideas. And I think, I hope, quite sincerely, that this rift between them actually accelerates, and the ANC begins to throw off the SACP, which has led it, I think, to a lot of dead ends. It's also interesting here that Kusatu itself is not on the same page. So you have different chunks of Kusatu having different views on the Government of National Unity. And that also suggests to me that the sort of, I mean, this has been happening for a long time anyway, the Kusatu sort of central place as the big union umbrella that, like, controlled sort of labor in the country. That's really not anywhere close to the case anymore. It's split a number of times. There's rival unions now all over the place. There's division within Kusatu. I think the idea of this grand Kusatu union alliance itself is perhaps also falling apart, as different unions seem to have different objectives. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and I mean, as I say, I think this is just a bit of a maturing in our politics. Like a lot of, you know, I wouldn't call South Africa necessarily a post-colonial state, but, you know, a newly democratic state, there has been this in a liberation movement that has dominated our politics. And in often, I mean, they, as I say, they cast this huge shadow over politics in the country, and nobody really ever challenged the ANC up until, you know, for the first 20 years after the end of apartheid, whatever, and we've really moved into a new paradigm. And I think Kusatu is what we're seeing in our body politic in general, is what we're seeing in Kusatu now as well. It's kind of breaking up in different interests, and, you know, and it's probably good for our politics for Kusatu not to be this massive movement that speaks with one voice. Also, I think the influence of unions as a whole is declining in South Africa for a whole bunch of reasons. And I think that's also why Kusatu, we start to see its influence waning quite a lot compared to what it used to be.
Exactly. So, yeah, indeed, the political balance of forces, I think, is changing in the country. And let's hope that that generates itself into different policies, because it's only when we start using different ideas we're actually going to get a much better outcome from our state and see our economy grow. And that does mean that we have to start moving away from things like, well, unfortunately, the new procurement bill, which has just been signed into law. It was passed in the last parliament. This sort of strengthens BEE requirements, for example, on public procurement, and is, I think, exactly in the wrong direction. The president should have sent it back to parliament. Unfortunately, he didn't. And so hopefully the Government of National Unity will in time either sort of change the regulations around that, or maybe even chuck out that law. Because that, you know, it doesn't matter whether Kusatu and the ANC both split into 1,000 pieces, which all talk a different game. If you just keep plodding forward with the same ideas, you're going to end up in much the same position.
And I think these are going to be a big test for the GNU. These kind of this bad legislation. We've just seen, I mean, the NHI has been signed law just before the election, and the expropriation bill or expropriation amendment Bolt gives his proper name, is sitting on the president's desk at the moment. And while they won't allow EWC, in some instances, it will allow EWC in certain cases. So, and that's obviously a pretty bad law, and it could, it's open to a lot of abuse. So that's definitely something, you know, the GNU parties are going to have to come to some kind of agreement on these things, because parties like the DA and the Freedom Front, which are part of the GNU, are opposed to NHR, they're obviously opposed to EWC. I'm open to correction, but I'd be surprised if they weren't opposed to the public procurement bill. So I think these are going to be the big tests for the GNU, whether the DA and Freedom Front Plus, et cetera, can stand up against these very bad pieces of legislation, and whether there will be a spirit of compromise from the biggest part in the GNU, the ANC.
Right. I think that is one of the keys to see is whether, you know, now we're seeing these divisions within the ANC, are they actually going to say, well, maybe, okay, yes, we signed this into law, but maybe we shouldn't do more of that. I think that's an early, easy first step for them to take, which doesn't necessarily rip open all the wounds within their party. Just stop bringing up bad pieces of legislation. Okay, let's move on to other political developments. And this is in Gauteng, where after initially saying that they were never going to form any sort of agreement with the ANC, Action SA, the party of Herman Mashaba, has kind of decided that they're going to change their minds. They say that they can't just sit around with their in Joburg third largest number of seats in the city council and not stabilize the Joburg metro to ensure better service delivery. And I think anyone who lives in Johannesburg and has paid attention to municipal affairs will know that Johannesburg has been in an extremely dire state over the past couple of years. Tapelo Ahmad, the ANC EFF appointed mayor from Al Jamaha, followed by Kabelo Gomanda, who's from the same party, have been awful, awful mayors. No leadership, no ability, just terrible. So in an effort to get rid of Gomanda, Action SA says that it would support the ANC in Johannesburg very aggressively in their press conference, saying this isn't a coalition, this isn't a coalition, we're not going to take up any seats in the executive, but we do want more control over the legislature. Action SA said that it would vote the ANC into power in Johannesburg on three conditions. One, that Kabelo Gomanda was removed and never made mayor again. That Action SA gets the speaker position in both Johannesburg and the Tswane metros. And that the 200 Rand surcharge, which both Action SA and the DA have very strongly opposed in Johannesburg for prepaid electricity meters, is scrapped. Now, this, I think, you know, I'm president of the disliking Kabelo Gomanda fan club. So to me, that is, I think, a welcome change if that does happen. But the more interesting question in political terms, in some to some degree, is, you know, does this mean that that Action SA is going to chuck the DA out of government in Pretoria? Is Silias Brink's job on the line here? I think it's very difficult to tell that at this stage. But Maurice, what do you make of this?
Yeah, I think it'd be quite silly of Action SA to help the ANC get rid of Silias Brink in Tshwane. It seems that he's starting to turn the corner, or the municipality starting to turn the corner there. And I think it would be a mistake to put the ANC back there. But this also shows, I think the ANC or the Action SA going into this kind of loose coalition or whatever you want to call it with the ANC in Joburg.
Supplying is actually confidence not a bad agreement, thing. I think, is the is
yeah,
the
let's term see, supplying confidence, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea, but also if they can stabilize the municipality and get somebody who's, you know, half competent and isn't a walking potato like Kabelo Gomanda is to you know, become the executive mayor. But also shows you it was a bit silly of Action SA. I think it's probably silly of any political party to make these hard lines where Action SA says, you know, they'll never work with the ANC, they'll do everything to keep them out of power. And now it's actually in the interest of the residents of Johannesburg for Action SA to work with the ANC. And there's nothing wrong with political parties that are opposed to working together for the greater good, or, you know, bigger interest, or whatever the case is. The DA is doing it now, right now in the GNU with the ANC, and the IFP is also in the GNU. Also in KwaZulu-Natal, there's this government of provincial unity and whatever. So I think it's always a bit silly for political parties to make, you know, these hard statements where, you know, this will never happen. And then obviously with all these things within 6 months, then the party will have backtracked or whatever. But yeah, I think it would be a bit silly for Action SA to get rid of Celia Brink and the DA and Twane, but I think working with the ANC in Joburg I think it's actually fine, and they're doing what's probably right for the residents of the municipality, and they are, as you said, they're the third biggest party in Joburg. So, I mean, I think they got nearly 20% of the votes in 2021. I don't think they're going to get anywhere close to that in 2026, but still remains to be seen. But I think it's a good move actually by Action SA if they manage to put somebody who's fairly competent in as executive mayor and get rid of this unpopular turnaround surcharge.
Exactly right. Another question is Ekra Leni, where the relationship between the ANC and EFF seems to be most frayed. Those parties are not getting on at all in that metro, and it's causing a lot of instability there. The question is, will Action SA try and help the ANC to avoid having to have the EFF there? It's a little bit more difficult there because Action SA is a much smaller party in Ekurhuleni. They only got about 6% of the vote. So I think that's a more complicated coalition agreement, but I wonder if they can also somehow get the DA involved in some way, maybe also on a supply and confidence basis in order to get rid of the EFF's influence in that municipality, because currently the way things are going, it looks like stasis is going to be the order of the day, as the ANC doesn't seem to have a functional majority in Ekurhuleni.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But also I think it's a mistake for the GNU parties to, make, I think I've said it before on the show, to say the GNU agreement is going to also hold in various provinces and municipalities. I think it's much better for the leadership in other parties in various provinces and municipalities to work on this as a case-by-case basis. And I think this would be fine if, say, in Ekurhuleni, the ANC and DA decide to work together and decide not to work together in Joburg and Twane. I think you've got to look at what's better for the residents of each municipality or province, whatever the case is. And if an ANC-DA government of local unity in Ekurhuleni makes sense, doesn't make sense in the other three or in the other two metros in Gauteng, I mean, that's fine, and that should maybe something that should be tried.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. We hope that you found this show interesting. We will be back, of course, tomorrow with the Daily Friend Wrap. Cheers, everyone. That's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.